This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we began a few weeks ago to look at the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran. We began by looking at the virtues of the surah. We spoke about how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had referred to this as the greatest surah in the Quran. And he had said that nothing like it had been revealed, even in the Torah or the Gospel or the Psalms. It is the most powerful group of verses that God had revealed to humanity. And he said that a door had opened in paradise for it, which had not been opened before. And we spoke about the narration, about how Allah replies to every line of Surah Fatiha in our Salah. That when we are praying Salah properly, with understanding and concentration, and we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then Allah replies Hamidani Abdi. That is when we say all praises to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, then Allah replies, my slave has praised me. And we went through the entire surah and Allah's reply to each line. So Surah Fatiha is indeed one of the most important surahs for any Muslim to study. This is something which there's no doubt about. Sadly, for many of us, it's just something that we rattle off our tongues without even thinking twice about, while the scholars have written entire volumes explaining these seven powerful verses. We spoke 3 weeks ago about the first verse of Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. From there, we spoke about the concept of Rububiyyah, Allah's Lordship, what that indicates, the importance of Tawakkul, and putting our trust in Allah, and our belief in Qadr. That Muslims do not believe in good luck or bad luck. Then last week we spoke about the second verse, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And we said that we spoke of Allah's mercy, that both of these names denote mercy. But Ar-Rahman is talking about Allah's mercy to all of creation, believer and disbeliever, human and non-human. All of the mercy that we see in this world that Allah has given to anybody, that is from Ar-Rahman. And then we spoke about him being Ar-Rahim, which is the specifically merciful, his specific mercy that he has reserved for the believers, and that is Jannah and Paradise. And we said that in this world, Allah has shown his mercy to all of his creation. But in the afterlife, the mercy will be specific for the believers. Because if someone does not believe in God and Paradise or Hell, then what? He is not entitled to be a part of it. So, this actually takes us into the third verse of Surah Fatiha, with the second verse ending off talking about Allah's specific mercy for the believers on the Day of Judgment. In the third verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of his role on the Day of Judgment, who he is on the Day of Judgment. And he says he is Maliki Yawmiddin. And in the other recitation, Maliki Yawmiddin. Malik means the master. And Malik means the king. So, between the two recitations, we can see that this verse is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master and the king of the Day of Judgment. That is, the entire Day of Judgment belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is Allah saying this? To let us know that on that day, it doesn't matter who we were in this earth. We could have been the richest of men. We could have been the greatest of presidents or kings. We could have had the biggest following. We could have been the biggest religious leader. It doesn't matter. On that day, every human will stand equally before their Lord to answer for their actions. And it is only your iman and your good deeds which can help us on that day. On that day, Allah is the only king. He is the one who everyone else will bow to. And that is why one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malikul Muluk, the King of Kings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the King of Kings. Anybody on this earth who claims to be a king or president, their rule is temporary. Their rule is not complete and supreme. Their rule is subject to their being in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If as a king or a ruler or a president, somebody is doing things which are unjust and against the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even if in this world they are let go, on the Day of Judgment they will answer to the King of Kings for everything that they did. On the other hand, a ruler who is just will be amongst those who are closest to Allah on the Day of Judgment. Because Allah is the most just and He is the greatest ruler. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an authentic hadith that on the Day of Judgment, there will be seven people who will be under the shade of Allah's throne. Rather, there will be seven types of people. In each of these categories, there will be many people. But there will be seven types of people who will be underneath the shade of Allah's throne. Because remember, the Day of Judgment, one of the descriptions of the Day of Judgment is that the sun is going to be shining. It's going to be very close to the people, and it's going to be shining directly above our heads, and people are going to be drowning in their sweat. It's going to be a horrific day for those who are sinners. But for seven special types of people, Allah has said, they will be under the shade of Allah's throne. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne, which He has described as being above the universe and separate from the universe, and which is described to be so big that the kursi in comparison to it is like the ring in the desert. And this throne of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that underneath it will be seven types of people. What will be the first type of person to be under the shade of Allah's throne? A just ruler. A just ruler. Why a just ruler? Well, we just need to look at the world around us and we'll understand that for the majority of rulers to have existed in human history and even those that exist today, it's injustice that is most common. It is more common to hear people complaining about their rulers than praising them. Because when one is in a position of power, it is very easy to abuse that power unless somebody has taqwa. It is taqwa which stops a person from abusing power. It is taqwa which makes a ruler just. And therefore, a just ruler is someone who had the most power in this world to oppress people, but he chose not to do so out of fear of Allah. Therefore, he will be closest to Allah on the Day of Judgment. The day when Allah is the king of the Day of Judgment, on that day, the just kings of this world will be under Allah's throne. And we see this in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he told the Sahaba to migrate to Abyssinia. Why did he tell them Abyssinia? He told them because it has a just ruler. That's the only condition he looked for. Migrate to a place which has a just ruler and you will have freedom of religion. You will have freedom to do da'wah. You will have freedom to worship Allah. And the Muslims that had migrated to Abyssinia, they had given the message to the just king. And when that king passed away, Jibreel himself came to the Prophet and told the Prophet about the king of Abyssinia that today a righteous man has died. Imagine the Prophet and the angels referring to a king as a righteous man. And the Prophet and the Sahaba prayed janaza in absence for this king because the king was in Abyssinia and they were in Medina. They prayed the janaza in absence for him. But why such special treatment for him? Because he was a king at a time when kings were known for being unjust, where rulers were known for oppressing people. Yet he chose to be just. He chose to believe in Allah. He chose to treat the Prophet's companions well. And so when he passed away, he was given a special status. So the first important lesson that we can take from this verse is the importance of justice. That on the Day of Judgment, we are all going to be answerable to the King of Kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that day, one of the things that lead many people to the hellfire is injustice. So we need to look into our own lives, because each and every one of us does have some position of authority or the other in which we can be just or unjust. We may not be kings, we may not be presidents, but we are all rulers in our own way. So inshallah, we'll continue discussing this after the break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we went for the break, we were talking about the issue of rulership and leadership and the importance of justice. That on the Day of Judgment, every human will be answerable to the King of Kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that day, the unjust will face great trials and the just will be under the shade of Allah's throne. And before we went for the break, I had mentioned that Islamically speaking, each and every one of us is in a position of authority. Each and every one of us has the opportunity to be just or unjust. And accordingly, we will be judged on the Day of Judgment. What am I referring to? I'm referring to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in an authentic hadith when he said, "Kullukum ra'in." Each and every one of you is a shepherd or a leader. وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَأْيَتِهِ. Each and every one of you will be answerable for your flock, meaning your followers. And then he went on to explain. He said that the ruler will be responsible for his subjects. The scholar will be responsible for his students. And the father will be responsible for his family. And the mother will be responsible for her children. Meaning, whoever you are, wherever you are, you have responsibility and authority over others. Even as a mother or father, you Islamically, that is a position of rulership, where if you are unjust to your wife or to your children, you will be answerable for that on the Day of Judgment. So many people forget this. So many times we hear stories and youngsters come and complain. I've had so many young people come and complain to me saying that their father prays 5 times a day, he goes to the masjid, he has a big beard, but when he comes home, he beats them up, he beats up their mother. This is not Islam. This is not Islam at all. Islam has prohibited all injustice. And know that on the Day of Judgment, you will be answerable for how you treat your spouse and your children. And know that if you are doing this, then the salah, whatever reward you would have gotten for the salah, will be transferred to their accounts instead. From the justice of the Day of Judgment, is that anybody who has harmed anybody else in this world, then Allah will take recompense on the Day of Judgment. And the recompense will not be in the form of money. In this world, when we harm someone, they give money instead to make up for it. In the next world, it will be in our deeds. Meaning that if someone has prayed a lot of salah, but they are harming and oppressing people, then the reward of the salah will be distributed amongst the people they have oppressed. And if they run out of good deeds to distribute and they're still owing people for the harms they have done, then those people's sins will be put on their head. Now think about this. Think about if one of us is such a person who prays 5 times a day, dresses Islamically, but at the same time is always picking on a sinner. So maybe you know somebody who has a problem with alcohol, and you are always picking on him, calling him names, verbally abusing him, hurting his feelings. On the Day of Judgment, all of your salah could be put into his account, and all of his alcohol could be put into your account. And then who's going to go to paradise and who's going to go to hell? So this issue of justice is crucial to the religion of Islam. Islam is known as the religion of justice. And the Day of Judgment is known as the Day of Justice. And Allah is known as Al-Adl, the most just. Because this is one of the fundamental qualities of Islam. That nobody is above the law and any form of injustice will be dealt with. If not in this world, then in the afterlife. So this is something that each and every one of us need to take into consideration in our own interactions, whether with our spouse, or with our children, or with our employees, or with your domestic worker, or even with somebody who you have met on the street, or with your neighbors. Are we just? Have we oppressed anybody? Have we hurt anybody's feelings? Have we taken something from somebody else which does not belong to us, and which belongs to them instead? Whatever we have done that is wrong, note that even if we get away with it in this world, on Yawmuddin, when we answer to the King of the Day of Judgment, we will be asked about each of these things, and justice will be done. The justice of the Day of Judgment is so strong that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, on the Day of Judgment, such justice will be taken that the sheep who had horns and the sheep who did not have horns will be resurrected. And if the sheep who had horns had oppressed or hurt the sheep without horns, then Allah will give the other sheep a chance to take recompense. Meaning the justice on the Day of Judgment is so strong and so straight and so complete that even between animals, Allah will mete out justice. Even if an animal which has no free will, which does not have intellect, even if such an animal oppressed another animal, Allah will take justice between them on the Day of Judgment before returning them back to dust. What about humans? What about those of us who have intellect, who have freedom of choice, who have all of these qualities that Allah has given the humans? And with these qualities comes accountability and responsibility. What will happen to us on the Day of Judgment if we oppress anyone or anything? The Sahaba were so worried about justice that when Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalif, he would say that I am worried that there mustn't be a road in Syria. And he was in Medina. He said, I'm worried there mustn't be a road in Syria that's badly constructed. And a donkey slips on that road because of how badly it has been paved. And because of that, Allah takes me into account on the Day of Judgment for hurting the donkey. That's the justice the Sahaba had. They were worried about harming a donkey in another country, even though it wasn't something directly related to them. And today, how many people and animals and even the environment around us do we harm and destroy without even thinking twice about it? Another story from the life of Umar radiallahu anhu related to justice. That once Umar radiallahu anhu was feeling for some fish. So one of his servants took the camel and went very far to get some fish for him and came back. When he came back, the camel was sweating and tired and panting. And Umar radiallahu anhu felt so bad. And he said to himself, woe to me. I've oppressed this animal because of my nafs. That's the justice. They didn't want to hurt a camel or a donkey. How many of us do hurt people on a daily basis without thinking twice about it? This justice is so, so important. This is a quality which every believer needs to make a part of their life. Any interaction we have between any human being and ourselves or any creature in ourselves, we need to think, am I being just? Am I being fair? Am I being merciful? Because whatever I do, I will be held accountable. Don't think because we got away with something in this world, we are going to get away with it in the afterlife as well. So this is the issue of justice as related to the Day of Judgment. Continuing on the topic of the Day of Judgment, in this surah, Surah Al-Fatiha, the Day of Judgment is referred to as Yawmiddin. The word deen, we usually translate it to mean the religion or the way of life. And in this verse, it's translated as judgment. It is one of the many names of the Day of Judgment in the Quran. Now, why does this specific day have so many names in the Quran? It is because of how important it is. I mentioned this last week, that when something is important in Islam, it is given many names. Or in any culture, if something is important, it is given many names. So likewise, in Islam, if something is important, it is given many different names. So inshallah, we are going to take a break soon, and then when we return, we are going to go through the different names of the Day of Judgment and what they signify.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we went for the break, we were mentioning that the Day of Judgment in the Quran has been given many names. And the reason for this is the importance of the day. I spoke last week that the more important something is to any culture, the more names it has. And to Muslims, Allah is most important. That's why we have 99 names of Allah. And more than that, actually, as I mentioned last week, there are names of Allah which He has not revealed to us, which is clear from some of the du'as we have been taught. For example, in one of the du'as that we have been taught to make at times of distress, we say, O Allah, ask you by every name that you have revealed to your slaves, or revealed in your book, or that you have taught any of your creatures, and the names that you have kept hidden by yourself. So that du'a indicates that there are names of Allah that we don't even know, and that we'll only know in the afterlife, inshallah. Now, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having so many names, the Day of Judgment itself has many names in the Quran. And each name indicates something important about the day. The Day of Judgment is known in this surah as Yawmuddin. In other surahs, it is known as Yawmul Qiyamah. As in Surah Qiyamah. La uqathimu bi yawmil qiyamah. I swear by the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the Day of Qiyamah. What is Qiyamah? Qiyamah comes from the word Qa'am. Qa'amah, which means to stand. So Yawmul Qiyamah would literally mean the Day of Standing. And some of the scholars have explained that on the Day of Judgment, majority of people will be standing for thousands of years waiting for their turn to take judgment. Standing for thousands of years waiting for your turn to take judgment. I want to just stop and think and picture that for a moment. Picture yourself standing. And according to the description, everybody will be standing naked, uncircumcised, without any shoes or anything at all, under the hot burning sun, seeing the hellfire, and seeing paradise, and seeing the angels. And we'll be standing like that for thousands of years, waiting for your turn to be judged, unless you are from those who are righteous. Those who are righteous,
Some of them will not have any judgment at all and will go straight to paradise. And others will be under the shade of Allah's throne. So, I mean, if we don't want to be part of that picture of people who will be standing on that day, then we need to do what it takes to make sure we are under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the day of standing. In another surah, it is referred to as Yawmul Hisab. Hisab, for those who know Arabic, we know it means accounting. So Yawmul Hisab, the day of accountability. On that day, everything we have done in this world will be accounted for, good or bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, whoever has done an atom's worth of good will see it, and whoever has done an atom's worth of evil will see it. So on that day, we will be held accountable for everything. Now picture yourself, just think about our lives up until this moment. How many good deeds do we have and how many bad deeds do we have? For many of us, the bad deeds outweigh the good deeds. But then let's not forget to take into account Allah's mercy. We said Allah's mercy will be most evident on the Day of Judgment. And this is one of the areas where His mercy will be most evident. Why? Because for every bad deed we do, one bad deed is written into our book of deeds. But for every good deed we do, a minimum of 10 good deeds is written into our book of deeds. And for some good deeds, it's more than 10. For example, praying Salah in Jamaat is 27 times. Some good deeds is 700 times. So, subhanAllah, if a person had to do one sin and one good deed, that good deed will be much more than the sin on the book in his book on the Day of Judgment. This is Allah's mercy. When we talk about people entering Jannah because of Allah's mercy and not because of their deeds, this is Allah's mercy manifest in our Sharia. Even if you think about good and evil, even if you think about committing a sin, that a sinful thought comes to your head and you want to do it and then you decide not to do it, you get rewarded for that. You get rewarded for that. On the other hand, if you think of doing a good deed and you decide not to do it, you still get rewarded for your intention. This is Allah's mercy, that when you think about doing a sin and you don't do it, you are rewarded for not doing the sin. And when you think of doing a good deed and you never do it, so for example, you said, inshallah, I'll pray tahajjud tonight, and you ended up not praying tahajjud, you still get rewarded for praying tahajjud. So this is Allah's mercy. You can see the mercy on the Day of Judgment. So a book of deeds on the Day of Judgment is a book of deeds full of Allah's mercy. So if that is the mercy of Allah, and on the Day of Judgment our sins still outweigh our good deeds, it's entirely our own fault. There's no way you can blame anyone but ourselves for that. That if we know that every good deed is worth times 10 to times 700, and every sin is worth 1, but still our sins are more than our good deeds on the Day of Judgment, what went wrong? For those of us who are not doing good deeds, we know ourselves what went wrong. And we need to change. We need to change immediately, because this day is a reality. And that takes us to the next name of the Day of Judgment. And that is Al-Haqqah. Al-Haqqah. Mal-Haqqah. What is Al-Haqqah? Al-Haqqah comes from the Arabic word Haqq. Haqq means truth. Something which is true, something which is real. And so Al-Haqqah is translated as the inevitable reality. That the Day of Judgment is real. The Day of Judgment is true. This is not a fiction. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a religious myth. This is something which will definitely happen, and which will affect every single creature to ever walk the face of this earth. Every single person will face the Day of Judgment. It is inevitable, meaning it will definitely happen. There's no way to avoid it. So we know this. We know that the Day of Judgment is the inevitable truth. We know that the Day of Judgment, each and every one of us will be standing in front of our Creator to answer for our deeds. So why then do we sin? Why then do we not make an effort to do good? When we know that if we're making an effort to do good, we are getting more reward for the good than we are getting for our sins. So our good deeds can outweigh our sins by the mercy of Allah. So why then don't we do it? We really need to ponder over this, ponder over the Day of Judgment and how we are going to answer Allah on that day. The scholars have mentioned something very interesting on this point, and that is when you read any description of the Day of Judgment, of anybody who ends up in the hellfire, you will not find a single person going to the hellfire and blaming Allah or blaming anybody else except themselves or other people who led them astray. Why? Because on that day, everybody will know that the only reason I am going to hell is because of my own sins, because of my own fault. Right? Now, we don't need to wait for that day. We don't need to wait for that day to think about this. We need to think about it now. We need to realize this now and make a change now and today. So that is al-haqqa, the inevitable truth. So far we said the Day of Judgment is known in the Quran as Yawmuddin, Yawmul Qiyamah, Yawmul Hisab, and al-haqqa. Another name in the Quran for the Day of Judgment is al-waqiyah, the event. The event that will definitely take place, as in Surah Al-Waqiyah. It's going to be a grand event. It's going to be a very powerful event, something, the most important event in the lives of anyone. It's known as Yawmul Akhir, the last day. This is one of the most common names, Al-Yawmul Akhir, the last day. Meaning that that is the day. In some religions they call it Doomsday. It's the day when everything that we know ends and a new existence begins. The new existence can be in paradise or in hell. It's up to us to decide by taking the right actions. It's also known as Al-Qari'ah, the day when there will be a lot of noise. Al-Qari'ah means the day when there will be a lot of noise. Just picture this. All of humanity together, worried about whether they're going to paradise or hell. Can you imagine the screaming, the crying, the pain? Allah has given us descriptions of this in the Quran, when He said that it is a day when a pregnant woman will abort the fetus, and a mother will forget about her child. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, the day when a man will run away from his own brother. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, and from his mother and father and his wife and his children. He's going to run away from everybody, his entire family. You don't want to see your family on that day. Can you imagine someone not wanting to see their family? Just think about that. Anybody here who is a parent knows that there's no situation on earth where you'll abandon your child. Right? That's the reality of being a mother or a father. There's no situation on earth where you'll abandon your child. Mothers and fathers will sacrifice their own lives and die to save their children. But Allah tells us on the Day of Judgment is a day, يَوْمَ يَفِرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي وَأُمِّهِ وَبِي وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. You will run away from bani, your children. Why? What if you had slapped your child in this world, and on the Day of Judgment, Allah takes your good deeds and gives it to your child because to make up for that oppression? Then? So because of that, parents will be worried that I mustn't have harmed my child in this world in any way, that he'll take my good deeds. At the same time, they worry, I mustn't have hurt my parents in any way that they'll take my good deeds. And the same thing about their spouse. Everybody on that day will be concerned about themselves. Except for the righteous. The only way to escape this, to escape the horrors of the Day of Judgment, is righteousness. To be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The righteous will be under the shade of Allah's throne, as we have mentioned. They will have peace. They will have calm. They'll be of many types. The prophets, the martyrs, the just rulers, many different types of righteous people. And some of them will enter paradise without any accountability at all. Rasulullah ﷺ has told us that there are 70,000 Muslims who will enter Jannah without accountability. They are those who put their trust in Allah. They do not use any amulets for protection. They only put their trust in Allah. So the key to paradise from that hadith, the key to entering paradise without any accountability, is to put your complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want this. We want to be from those who on the Day of Judgment escape evil. Those who on the Day of Judgment escape the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we need to do. So we have mentioned some of the names of the Day of Judgment. Another very important name, and this is the name most commonly found in the books of hadith, is As-Sa'a. As-Sa'a, the hour. As-Sa'a means the hour. The most important hour of our life. The hour that will determine whether we are going to spend eternity in paradise or hell. Or we're going to spend a few thousands or million years in hell and then go to paradise. And all will be determined in that hour. As-Sa'a. So that is another important name, and you'll find this name in most of the hadith talking about the signs of the Day of Judgment. Most of the hadith which talk about the signs of the Day of Judgment begin with the statement, La taqumu sa'a hatta. The hour will not occur until. And then Allah mentions a sign. And then Rasulullah mentions one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. So, again, these are some of the names of the Day of Judgment. Why do we mention them? Why do we learn them? So that we know the description of that day. We know the reality of that day. And so that it can hit our hearts, it can affect our iman, it can give rise in us to a determination to change and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that we can break out from being amongst those people who are distracted by this world. By those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in another surah. Alhaakumut takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. The competition to pile up the things of this world has distracted you. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the graves, meaning until you die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us in the Quran that for many of us, the things of this world has distracted us. All the things, money, fame, power, authority, many different things. But they have been a distraction. We want bigger TVs, we want bigger cars, we want bigger houses. We focus so much on that we forget about building a bigger bank account for the Day of Judgment. Allah has said it has distracted you, hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the graves, meaning until we die. Let's not be from those people who only realize the reality when we die. Because Allah goes on in that surah to describe the day we die and what will happen to such people. But I do not want to go into details about that now, because inshallah I want to do a full tafsir of that surah in a later episode. So that is a bit more about the Day of Judgment. Now what I want to do for the final segment of this program is to look at what I spoke about earlier, those people who will be under the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment, as that is a very, very important topic. So that's what we are going to cover, inshallah, after the next break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Before we went for a break, we are talking about the names of the Day of the Judgment. And I say one of the names most commonly mentioned in the Quran or in the hadith is As-Sa'a. In the Quran, Allah also refers to it as As-Sa'a. In a very powerful section of the Quran, where Allah describes the Day of Judgment. So I want you to listen to this. This is the first two verses of Surah Al-Hajj, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqu rabbakum, inna zalzalati sa'ati shay'un azim. O mankind, have taqwa of Allah. Be conscious of Allah. Because the violent earthquakes and the shaking of the hour is a severe thing. Allah speaks about zalzalati sa'a, that on the Day of Judgment there will be a shaking. Zalzala normally refers to an earthquake. And he says on that day it will be an extreme thing. He goes on to describe it and say, listen to the description of the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَزْحَلُ كُلُّ مُرْدِعَةٍ أَمَّا أَرْضَعَةٍ. That day when you see it, every suckling woman will quit her child. She will leave her child. وَتَدَعَ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. And every pregnant woman will lose her child. She will lose the baby out of the fear and terror that strikes her heart on that day. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. On that day, you will think mankind is intoxicated. You will think that mankind has gone mad. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. But they are not intoxicated. They have not gone mad. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. Rather, the punishment of Allah is severe. The punishment of Allah is severe. Very, very powerful verses. It's fitting that it's the first of Zulhijjah, and that is the opening two verses of Surah Al-Hajj. So those of us who are even not going on Hajj, we can still take the benefits from Surah Al-Hajj. And look at those two verses and let them shake our hearts and realize the horrors of the Day of Judgment. The day when women will give up their children. Men will give up their families. Everyone will be gone mad, literally going mad. Why? لَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. The punishment of Allah is severe and they will know it. They will see it and they'll be fearful that they will be amongst it. Now what can we do to escape this? There is no escaping the Day of Judgment. but there is escaping the punishment of that day. We run away towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us what we need to do to be amongst those who are close to Him on that day, to be amongst those who are under His shade, the shade of His throne on that day, to be amongst those who will enter paradise peacefully. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that there are seven types of people who will be under the shade of Allah's throne on the day of judgment. We've already spoken about one of them, and that is the just ruler. And we explained why being a just ruler is so important and such a high station in Islam. The second type is a youngster who spends his youthful years in the service of Allah. Why is that so special? Because we all know the time when it is easiest to sin is when we are young. Between the ages of 15 and 30, that is the time when it's easiest to sin. And the time when it is hardest to do good deeds is when we are young. Between the ages of 15 and 30, that is the hardest time to do good deeds. So for those of us who choose to spend those years specifically doing good deeds, that is enough to earn a person the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment, because that is one of the hardest things to do. A third type of person who will be under the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment, is described as a person who gives charity so secretly that his left hand does not know what his right hand gave. That is a metaphor. What it means is that he gave charity so secretly that he doesn't even know or care how much charity he gave. He doesn't boast about it. He doesn't tell people about it. He himself, he probably doesn't even know how much he gave in charity. He's just giving secretly for the sake of Allah. Why is that difficult? Because human nature, when we give, we want our efforts to be appreciated. We want people to know how much we gave. We want people to pat us on the back and to tell us how generous we are and how nice we are. So if we fight our desires and overcome that and begin to give only for the sake of Allah and give in such ways that we don't even know, nobody knows how much we have given for the sake of Allah, that is a very powerful deed. The fourth type of person who will be under the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment is someone whose heart is attached to the masjid. What do you mean by their heart is attached to the masjid? We mean such a person who wants to be in the masjid all the time. He or she loves the masjid. The masjid is their home. The masjid is the place where they go to find peace. The masjid is where they go to make dua and to be close to Allah. When they finish their salah and they come out of the masjid, their mind is on, when do I go back, because I want to go back. This is difficult to get to. For most of us, going to the masjid is a chore. Going to the masjid is something we drag our feet about. So if one can reach a stage where you love the masjid so much that you don't want to be anywhere else, that is enough to earn one the pleasure of Allah on the Day of Judgment. So that's the fourth type of person. The fifth type of person who will be under the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment is somebody who resisted the temptation of zina from someone who is beautiful and famous. Meaning that if someone had the opportunity to commit the sin of zina with someone who they really liked or someone who was really beautiful, but they did not do it solely out of fear of Allah, then that is enough to get a person to be in the good books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, because that is one of the most difficult sins for any human to avoid. To be in that situation and to say no is really a sign of taqwa. The next person who is under the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment is someone who, when they are alone, they cry out of the fear of Allah. And this is truly a test to see who has real taqwa. Because it's very easy. It is very easy for any of us to be pious and to be righteous and to be good in front of others. Right? That's something normal. That's something easy for all of us. We can wear Islamic clothes in public and go to the masjid and act all pious. But when we are alone in our house, alone in our room, and there's nobody around except us, what do we think about then? What do we do then? If someone in that state, when they are all alone, is crying out of the fear of Allah, that is the highest level of taqwa that a person can reach. That is a true sign of iman. And that attribute of a person will earn them the pleasure of Allah and the shade of his throne on the Day of Judgment. And the final type of person who will be under the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment are people who were friends with each other solely for the sake of Allah. Now this is something which many of us don't understand or are not familiar with. What does it mean to be friends for the sake of Allah? It means that two people met each other and know each other only for one purpose, that you are a Muslim and I'm a Muslim, and that's enough for us to be friends. They're not friends for any other reason. So inshallah, we'll continue explaining this hadith after the final break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are looking today at verse number 3 of Surah Fatiha, Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. And we spoke today about a few things about the Day of Judgment, very few, because the topic of the Day of Judgment is so deep and so large in Islam that entire volumes can be written about it. We could speak for literally 30, 40 hours about the Day of Judgment. But we just took a glimpse at it today because that is what verse 3 of Surah Fatiha is about. The entire verse 3 of Surah Fatiha, which is just three words, Master of the Day of Judgment, indicates everything that we spoke about today. That on the Day of Judgment, Allah will be in power. Allah will have authority over everyone. Every creature will be accountable to Allah. There will be complete justice. We will see the mercy of Allah manifest. We will see paradise and hell. People will be facing the horrors of the Day of Judgment except for the righteous. And then we spoke finally about the qualities of those people who will be closest to Allah on the Day of Judgment. We said that there are seven types of people who on the Day of Judgment will be under the shade of Allah's throne. They will not have to face all of these horrors. It is our duty as Muslims, if we want to be safe, because we all will face this day, to try and fall into at least one of these categories. At least one. Being a just ruler, avoiding zina, which we know in the current world is very difficult, but that can save you on the Day of Judgment. That could be your ticket to Jannah. Being righteous while young, again in the modern world, extremely difficult, but that can be your ticket to Jannah. Doing charity in secret, it's very tempting to tell people about your charity, but this is something which can save you. And crying out of fear of Allah when you are alone, try to build up our taqwa to that level and to have our hearts attached to the masjid. And finally, I was going to explain this last point in a bit more detail. For two people to love each other only for the sake of Allah. This means that if you have a friend, and the only reason you and that person are friends is because you both love Allah, because you are both Muslims. You're not his friends because you want his money. You're not his friend because he's a person in power or authority or because he's famous. You're not his friend because you can use him for something. Or you're not his, even if it's none of that, you're not his friend because you'll have the same sports in common. Or because you'll have the same likes and dislikes. That's permissible. But that's not rewarding. The friendship which is rewarding and which is special and which is unique and which is very hard to find in this world is where two people love each other for no other reason except Allah. You met someone and you might not have anything in common besides the fact that you are both practicing Muslims. But just the fact that that person is a practicing Muslim, that is enough reason for you to love him or her. That is the special love which earns a person the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment and a special place in paradise. There are many, many hadiths talking about the virtues of loving for the sake of Allah. It is something extremely rare. It is something really difficult to gain, but it is something beautiful. Beautiful in both worlds. In this world, it's beautiful because you have a genuine friendship and love, the likes of which you will not experience in any other type of friendship. And in the afterlife, it will be a means of saving both of you from the hellfire. Because on that day, we're all going to run away from our friends, illa al-muttaqeen, except for the righteous. The righteous will be there with each other, going to paradise together. So this is a brief glimpse at the Day of Judgment and what it means about Allah being the master of the Day of Judgment. When we recite these three words, Maliki Yawmiddin, in our salah every day, we should think about all of these things. These are the thoughts that we should be going through our head in our salah.
We should not be thinking about our business. We should not be thinking about what we need to do next when we go home. We should definitely not be thinking about our TV programs that we're going to watch. We should be thinking about the verse we are reading, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Master of the Day of Judgment. And we should be thinking about what we have prepared for it. I'd like to end off with one last hadith, where a Bedouin Arab came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him and asked him, when will the Day of Judgment occur? What did he ask him? When will the Day of Judgment occur? And the Prophet ﷺ replied with a question. The Prophet ﷺ replied and asked him, what have you prepared for it? Meaning, it doesn't matter when the day will happen. It doesn't matter when the Day of Judgment is going to occur. What matters is that we are preparing for it, that we are doing what we need to do so that when the Day of Judgment happens, we are ready to meet Allah and earn His pleasure. So with that, inshallah, I will close off for today. Next week, we will look at verse number 4. With that, I would like to end with the words and the question of Rasulullah ﷺ to that sahabi and by extension to each and every one of us. What have you prepared for that day? وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ